You might find people who say things like, well, there's no one right way, and all roads lead to heaven. And while it might be culturally acceptable to say things like that, it is not biblically acceptable to say these things, because the Bible does not teach them. The Bible teaches, and we have read it, and we're going to think more about it, that Jesus is the only way. And as believers, as Christians, we believe the Bible, and we take our truth from the Bible and not from the culture that is all round about us. Now, the accusation might come to you, the Christians at Collier Row Gospel Hall, if you are saying that you have this exclusive claim that you know the way to heaven through Jesus Christ, do you think you're better than everybody else? Absolutely not. We don't think we're better than anybody else, but we simply believe the Bible. We believe what the Bible has to say. We don't hate anybody else who thinks that they have another way. We simply want them to find the way that we have found, that we believe, that the Bible teaches, is the one true and only way to heaven. So we read this verse from John chapter 14. And this is the Lord Jesus himself speaking in what we would sometimes call the upper room ministry. If you like, at this point in John's gospel, his public ministry, his outward-facing ministry to the world in general, has finished. And he is now taking time shortly before the cross, and he is encouraging and teaching his disciples. And in this conversation with his disciples, as he continues to teach them, he has made this statement: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we could spend the whole of our meeting and the whole of this week unpacking this verse, because it is absolutely full of truth. But what I really want to underline and make the point is this: in answering to the question, is Jesus really the only way to heaven? This verse is his personal testimony. This is the personal testimony of Jesus Christ himself saying, I am the way. But then the question might come, why can we believe him? If this is a personal testimony, surely anybody could just say, follow me, I'm the way. But is there evidence to back up the claim of what the Lord Jesus is saying in his personal testimony? Well, this verse, this very phrase in itself, is a claim to deity. That means it is a claim that Jesus Christ is saying, I am God. And I wasn't here last week, unfortunately, but I did have a spy here, and I hear that that is the kind of thing that you talked about, that you discovered. The fact that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. In John's Gospel, John actually tells us the whole purpose of writing his Gospel is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the whole aim. From chapter 1 to the end, his aim is to prove to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in doing so, he records 7 of these I am statements, and this is one of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But up to now, all we're talking about is words. All we're talking about is words. What about the actions? Well, what we should say is this: God's word alone, if we're saying Jesus Christ is God, then God's word alone should be and is sufficient. Because he is true, he is righteous, he is just, and so his word is sufficient. But God hasn't just left us with his words, he has demonstrated in his actions. So those 7 I am statements that John records are all backed up by miracles. All backed up by things, we might use the word miracles, John uses the word signs. They're great big signposts. We're thinking about Jesus being the way. Well, when you drive down the road and you go on a way, maybe you're looking at your sat-nav more than the signposts now, but big signs on the road telling you the way to go. And John says, and he records for us in his gospel, these signs. Great big signposts, miracles that the Lord Jesus did to show us that he truly is the way. And to back up this claim, to prove that he really is God. And so then he goes on in that verse. He says, I am the way. And he emphasizes that by saying, no one comes to the Father but by me. You know, this is not something that is dreamt up by the Christians that meet here. It's not some sort of truth that's trying to keep everybody else out and we want to have to ourselves. The fact of the matter is this, that there is no other way, and nobody can be in heaven, nobody can come to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has made that claim. He has backed it up through those signs, those miracles that he has done, and he is worthy of our faith. We can believe in him. The world today thinks faith is believing in something with no evidence. That's not what faith is. It's all there. John has recorded it for us. He is the way, and he's shown us that through these signs and the miracles that we can read about throughout the gospel. So, that's the first thing I really want us to get in John chapter 14 and verse 6, the personal testimony of Jesus Christ to being the way. Now, when we come to Acts chapter 4, we don't know how, it's not now the testimony of the Lord himself. This is the testimony of the apostles. So what we are finding in this section, in Acts chapter 4, Peter is preaching. And he is addressing the leaders of the nation of Israel. And as he is preaching the gospel to them, he says this, neither is there salvation in any other. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, there's no salvation in anybody else, no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The personal testimony of the Lord Jesus that Peter heard in the upper room, is now he is now preaching himself in Acts chapter 4, after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus. He's applying that teaching as he preaches. And this was the message of the early church. This was the teaching of the apostles, that salvation is to be found in Christ and Christ alone. This is not modern Christianity. This message has not changed. Since Christ, since the day of Pentecost, the true church has been preaching this, faith in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. He really is the only way to heaven. This is authentic, real Christianity. It's the testimony of Christ. It's the testimony of the apostles in the early church. No salvation in anybody else. It is in Christ and Christ alone. But you know, there was another problem that occurred in the early church. No, because as we think about this question, is Jesus really the only way to heaven? It's easy to think about it as a plethora of options. We take option one, option two, option three. But there was another problem in the early church. And what they did was, or certain people tried to teach, was that Jesus is good, but Jesus isn't enough. This was another way that they found, and they were kind of, I suppose it appeared a little bit like compromise. Jesus is good. Trust in Jesus. That's a good thing. But you need more. You need more than Christ. But that, again, is not the truth of the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, in his letters, particularly the letter to the Galatian churches, he said, this simply isn't true. If we're going to say we need the Lord Jesus as our way to heaven, but then top it up by doing our own things, then we are not preaching the true gospel. The way to heaven is nothing more than Jesus and nothing less than Jesus. It's him and him alone. And if there's anybody here today and you're trying to make your own way to heaven, I kindly want to say to you, stop. Stop. Or perhaps you're thinking that, yes, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus, but you're still just trying your best with all your efforts to keep rules and regulations. Stop. Because that isn't the way. There's no hope in that way of life. We cannot please God through our own goodness, through our own law keeping. We cannot add anything to the value of the gospel of ourselves. Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary to be the way. We don't need to take our own diversions. We don't need to add anything to him. we shouldn't be seeking our own way. Now, the Bible itself gives a very sincere warning about this kind of thing. In the book of Proverbs, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we might sit here, or you might could sit at home, and you could logically think, well, surely if I do my best, God will accept me. It might seem a logical thing. It might seem right to us in the way that we think. But it's not God's way. That's man's way. And so the Bible gives this warning. If you're doing anything that could be perceived as your way instead of God's way, the ends are the ways of death. There is no hope for eternity. We cannot be in heaven if we are going our own way. So I want to summarize where we've got to up to this point, and then I want to ask those three sub-questions. Yes, Jesus really is the only way to heaven. We have his personal testimony in John chapter 14. We have the message, we can see the testimony of the early church in Acts chapter 4. That was what Peter preached. And so we are dealing with this claim of exclusivity. It is not us as a church coming up with anything with our own messages, our own ideas. This is real Christianity. Jesus is the only way. So we said that the first of these three other questions that we wanted to ask to help think about this further, and the first one was, why is the way to heaven blocked? And we said another way of thinking about that is, why can't we go our own way? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 with regards to heaven that nothing that defiles can enter in. Nothing that defiles can enter in. So that means nothing that would spoil heaven can get into it. What this verse is really talking about is our problem of sin. Anything that spoils or defiles, it boils down to the core problem of sin. We can look at various issues in the world today, and we can track it all back, and ultimately it boils down to this problem, the problem of sin. So sin, our personal sin, is like a great big roadblock, if you like. It's blocking the way. It is stopping us from getting to God. It keeps us from heaven. The prophet Isaiah says that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. So there's a great big block in the way. The way is blocked. And it's because of our sin that heaven would be closed to us. What about this problem of sin? What does that mean? What are we getting at? Well, sin is our very nature. We all have a sinful nature because the Bible describes it like this. It's who we are in Adam. So Adam, the father of the whole human race, he disobeyed God. He fell into sin. He had this sinful nature, and that sinful nature has passed upon us all. You might be sitting there thinking today, well, are you saying that I'm a sinner because I do bad things? No, I'm saying you do bad things because you are a sinner. Because it's the very heart of the nature of who we are as human beings to rebel against God. And it impacts every aspect of our life at the very core of who we are. But another way in which we often think about sin is it's easy to think, well, I'm sinning against somebody. You can take the example of David in the Old Testament. When he fell into sin, well, he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against Uriah. And that is true, he did sin against those people. But when he came to a true realization of his sin, what did he understand? He understood this, saying to God, against you, you only have I sinned. He realized that sin was against God. And I wouldn't be fulfilling my responsibility today if I did not warn you that you sit under the judgment of God in your sin. We all deserve the judgment of God because we have rebelled against him. All our sin is ultimately against him. And he is the judge. He is the one who sits in judgment upon us, and he is rightfully the judge, because he himself is morally pure and holy and righteous. But there might be, you meet people in life, and maybe you're one of them, I don't know, but They're quite happy to think about other people as sinners, but they don't like to think about it for themselves. We can all be a little bit like that, can't we? We like to look down on other people's problems and situations, but see ourselves apart from it. We don't like it when things come a little bit close to home. But the Bible tells us that sin comes very close to home for all of us. It tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This roadblock, this block of sin, is not just for some people and not others in our nature. We are all sinners who are kept from God in our sin. And as we've touched on already, sin leads to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So this separation from God as a result of our sin in this life is absolutely something that we deserve. But when the Bible talks about death, and we've already thought about that, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. He doesn't just mean we die physically. It also means the ultimate spiritual death. Eternal separation from God for all of eternity. And I can't begin to explain to you the sufferings under the judgment of God. But it is serious, it is severe, and just imagine, just for a second, maybe you've been in a situation where you feel that there is absolutely no hope. Absolutely no hope that this terrible situation is going to end. Perhaps that is the closest feeling we could ever get to being under the judgment of God for eternity. And even then, we're nowhere close to thinking about the suffering and the torment that we deserve as a result of being sinners. And that is the way that we're on. It's another way the Bible talks about. It actually talks about two ways. A broad road and a narrow road. And in this condition of our sin, we're on this big, broad road with the majority of humanity who are heading towards the judgment of God. But what the gospel tells us is this, is that there's a narrow way. Jesus is the way. And we need to trust in him, and we can go a different way. And instead of having this prospect of the eternal judgment of God, we have the prospect of being in heaven with him. So why is the way to heaven blocked? Well, it's blocked because of our sin. And it's because of our sin that our own ways are useless to us. Because we are sinners, we cannot get to heaven on our own. Our own way is futile. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. But there is no hope in your own way. There is only hope in coming to Christ. But we said then that our second question was, what has Jesus done to be the way? Why is he the way? Well, we'll quickly cover off again, first of all, because of who he is. Because he is God. So our way doesn't work because we are sinners. But his way does work because he isn't a sinner. That's wonderful. His way works because he isn't a sinner. Because he is the perfect Son of God. And so he was uniquely qualified to do what needed to be done. And what was that? What needed to be done? Well, the Bible is very clear that sin demands sacrifice. Sin demands sacrifice. For sin to be put right, there must be sacrifice. There must be the shedding of blood. And the reason that the Lord Jesus is able to be the way, first of all, is because he's the perfect Son of God. But that in itself isn't enough. He then went, and because he's the perfect Son of God, was able to go and die upon the cross. Again, you might sit there today and think, well, the cross. That he just wound a few too many people up. Said the wrong thing a few too many times. Jesus, he upset the religious leaders and eventually they nailed him to a cross. Well, that's only to see one side of the story. You know, I don't know about you, I've not seen it yet, but everybody's been talking about that Mr. Bates and the post office. And there's all this talk about the greatest miscarriage of justice in modern history and all of this kind of thing. Well, in one sense, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest miscarriage of justice that ever happened. Because it was the perfect Son of God who was nailed to a cross. But we can't just see the cross of Christ from a human perspective. We have to see it from God's perspective. And this was the eternal plan of God. That for the way to heaven to be opened to us, that the roadblock of sin had to be removed. How was it removed? It was because he bore it upon the cross. It was because he was made sin for us. It was because he bore away in his own body on the tree the sin of the world. And so the Lord Jesus upon the cross, through the shedding of his precious blood, he paid the price for our sin. So we could be forgiven. So that roadblock could be lifted. He endured the judgment of God for our sin. I love the verse in the Bible that says, he was the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The perfect, holy, just Son of God. For us, the unjust, the hell-deserving sinner. Why? That he might bring us to God. This great exchange has taken place so that we can be in heaven. And the Bible goes on to say, it puts it like this, that he has consecrated a new and living way. When we're talking about the Lord Jesus being the way, it's a way of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a new and living way. Because our way, and in our sin, is the way of death. We've seen that. But the way of Christ is the way of life. And he wants to give us eternal life. So we've talked about spiritual death. Eternal separation and judgment from God. But the gift of the gospel that the Lord Jesus wants to give us when we come to him in faith is the gift of eternal life. Because God's way is the way of life. And we receive eternal life. But as we're thinking about life, we've got to come on to something else. Another qualification, another thing that the Lord Jesus has done in order to be the way. He didn't just die. He rose again. If the Lord Jesus is still in a tomb, he isn't the way. Let's be absolutely clear about that. If Jesus Christ is still in the tomb, he isn't the way. But he is alive. Paul says, now is Christ risen from the dead. And he is. And by faith we can believe it. And the Bible tells us that there were, again, various evidences to the fact that Jesus Christ rose. And so today, by his resurrection, the Lord Jesus has opened the way to heaven. Okay. So the way to heaven for us as sinners is blocked. Jesus Christ, through his death and through his resurrection, has opened the way. Everything's okay then. Nothing more to do. The way's open. We can go to heaven. Well, no, we need to ask this final question. And that was, how can we go this way? How can we go this way? You know, the work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross is a great work. He's done everything necessary to open up the way. But we need to take action. We need to take action. God isn't asking us to go and do any particularly great and wonderful thing. He's not asking us to keep a load of rules. There's a story in the Old Testament that illustrates this. It was a man called Naaman. He had leprosy. And to cut a long story short, he went to see the prophet because he'd been told that the prophet in Israel would be able to heal him. And the prophet said to him, you need to go and dip in the river 7 times. What did he do? He stormed off. Because in his own pride, he wanted to do something wonderful to earn his own cleansing. He didn't want to come the simple way. Here's another thing. God's way is a simple way. God's way is a simple way. If you're trying to strive to do great things to appease God, stop. God's way is through repentance and faith. Naaman, he just had to go and dip in the river. And eventually he did. And he was cleansed. What does God want from us? How can we go this way? Well, we must believe. You know, one of the other I am statements of the Lord Jesus, as well as being the way, he says, I am the door. We need to go through. We need to enter by faith. And faith is accepting God at his word. Believing that what he says is true. Believing that when the Bible tells us Christ died for our sins, and that he rose again the third day, believing it as true, accepting it for ourselves, placing our confidence for eternity in Jesus Christ. But the other thing we must do is we must repent, we must turn around, we must turn away from our sin, that life of sin that we live, that selfish life, where we're first in everything. Turn away from that. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that's like repentance, putting Jesus Christ first, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's faith, then we shall be saved. So, is Jesus really the only way to heaven? Yes. He says so himself. The early church, the apostles, preached it. We thank God for the people maybe 500 years or so ago who really rediscovered this truth, that Jesus Christ really is the only way. We've thought about how our way in our sin is wrong and leads to death. We've thought about the things that Jesus Christ has done to be the way through his death upon the cross and through his resurrection. And so as we finish considering this subject this morning, we need to make this personal. We need to make this personal. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Are you still trying your own way? Or have you come believing in him to come his way, because he truly is the only way? May God bless this to us this morning. Let's just pray.